And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Salutations. Welcome, listeners, to another episode of RBLR Bucks. I'm your guy, Musa, one of your co-hosts tonight. And listen, win or lose, I'm always fired up to be here with y'all. I'm just grateful you're rocking with us because this is what it's all about. RBLR family, the Bucks faithful, all rolling together through thick and thin. All right. Well, that one against the Saints, that was rough. That wasn't just a loss. That was the type of game that has everyone checking their blood pressure. But, you know, you win or you learn. And trust me, there were plenty of lessons coming out of that one. We're going to break it all down, talk about what went sideways and what's gotten tightened up real quick. And if anyone's in the hot seat, if you feel me. But because up next, it's a division matchup. And we got a short week. The Atlanta Falcons coming in hot after getting smacked around by Seattle. It's going to be a Thursday night showdown with some, real NFC South stakes. So this one's going to be one of those physical, emotional, you know, the statement opportunity kind of games for Tampa Bay. But no matter what, we are here for you. Win, loss, bye week, offseason, it don't matter. That's how the RBLR family rolls. Big shout out to our whole crew holding it down, you know, from our RBLR Rays, Lightning, Rowdy, Sun, and even our beloved USF Bulls team. Tampa Bay all day, every day. Drop your takes, your frustrations, your hopes, your predictions. Tell us how you really feel, all right? We are always open ears. So seriously, do let us know just however you're listening to this. Okay, enough out of me real quick. I want to welcome, my two iconic co-hosts, you know, the legendary dynamic duo. First up, the man with takes hotter than a Raymond James tailgate grill.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Zach Blaine. What's the good word, my friend?
What is happening, boys? We're over here celebrating. How old are you now, dude?
Seven.
You're seven with Everett. So we got a big birthday today.
Bucky Irving year. All right.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's great. We'll tell him I said happy birthday.
You got that? Musab said happy birthday.
I heard it. All right. And joining us as well, the wild card, the energy plug, the chaos coordinator himself, Mr. Carter Brantley. What's the good word, my friend?
Oh, man, not the Bucks, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No, but it's a great week, you know, other than, you know, Buck stuff aside, it's a tremendous week. A lot of stuff going on at work. It's the holiday season, you know, so a lot of shopping, a lot of, you know, and the weather is kind of nice. So at least there's that. Oh, yeah, man. My bank account is not super happy with me. But hey,
nice to have good weather, brother.
Yeah. Hey, that's that Florida living, brother. You got to come back. You got to come back.
I would in a heartbeat.
Yeah, gotta get out of Tennessee, man. But
telling you, brother.
I love Tennessee too. I have loved ones in Tennessee. Shout out my uncle Chris. But yeah, we'll get right into it because we got a lot to talk about. You know, this is quite an eventful game, not a good one, but an eventful one. They took the loss against the Saints, like Musab mentioned. Is this the worst game of the year for y'all? I don't know. This was pretty awful. And where what went wrong, Zach? I mean, to me, this was the worst game of the year, and there's so much that went wrong. It's kind of hard to focus on one thing, but I'm sure you'll be able to list them out for us.
Our defense sucks. Our offense sucks. Special teams is atrocious. No, I don't know if this is the worst game of the year. It was bad. Don't get me wrong.
Really? Okay.
Not good. The Rams game hurt a lot more than this one to me.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
I will say, go ahead.
The Rams game wasn't winnable. Like the Rams game, they were probably going to lose anyways. This game, you got to win these games. You know what I mean? Like,
agreed. But the Rams game to me put into perspective that we're not a real contender.
That's a good point.
We could still win the NFC or the NFC South. Like I'm not. Yeah. Well, even with the loss, like okay, it's a division rival. We already beat them once. They know exactly how we're going to play. It's a bad loss. Don't get twisted. I'm not saying it's not, but the Rams game, that three game stretch put into perspective, like those are real contenders and we're a Todd Bowles led team that's going to win the NFC South every year.
That's a great perspective, man. I didn't think about it like that. And that's a valid point. That's a very good point.
And I also feel like it's important to take in, as dumb as it sounds, the weather into account for last week.
Man, I played a baseball game on Sunday in that weather, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, that's good for you, but I think that neither quarterback was successful really throwing the ball.
Yeah,
and for sure. It just went to show that we are not set up to not be able to throw the ball, if that makes sense, which is so disappointing coming from years past.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. It feels like a real regression back towards where they were before.
With the Jameis Winston era is what it feels like.
Honestly, even the Tom Brady era. Those running games were horrible too. You know, I feel you, like the Jameis Winston era was bad too. But, I don't know. It was definitely not fun to watch for sure. And like you said, the weather was nasty. Like, I know I jokingly mentioned that we played a baseball game in that weather, but we also canceled the game after five innings. So Musab, how about you, man? What were your thoughts on this game and what went wrong?
I think this is actually the worst loss. I have to agree with Zach that I think the Rams loss did tell us we are not contenders. I thought, you know, we weren't contenders even before that, unfortunately, just with all the injuries we're having. But I'll tell you this game, there was no excuses. I don't care that Tristan Wirfs didn't play. I don't care, the weather was really bad. You don't lose to a 2-10 Saints team. I just feel like, they're missing their own pieces as well,
I mean, two other teams lost to that 2-10 team.
Only two.
Well, they're not.
I agree, but it's the NFL. Like, I know,
but this game just made me think that.
Titans, you get what I'm saying?
I know, but this game just made me think that the NFC South crown is not impressive anymore. I think whether we win or we don't win this division, I think this kind of game is the one that kind of has been showing the deeper issues our team has been having. So that's basically where it stands. Is this is kind of just like that wake up call. This is kind of like the rock bottom loss. This may not have been the loss, this was just pathetic. I'll leave it.
I'd get you there eventually.
Yeah.
I've been saying the NFC South division title is not enough for what, two seasons now trying to get.
Yeah, but this was just, you're like the worst. You're like the worst varsity team, in your area. And you just lost to like some JV team down the road. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
I think this is probably the worst loss in terms of, just like purely excusable, like the most disgusting loss. But I do agree with Zach that the Rams game was probably the most deflating loss. Like, it was
That's probably a better way to put it.
Yeah, this was the most inexcusable loss. The Rams loss was the most deflating loss. So both bad, and both bad in unique ways. It was gross all the way around. Zach, you've been preaching this for 2 years, and I think this is probably the loudest. I don't want to say it's the loudest that it's been, but it's, I don't know. It kind of is the loudest it's been in my mind. Like, it definitely feels like this has been the most validity to the Fire Bowls chance that I've seen in a while. And Musab, I'll start with you, because I know Zach has your own. I want to give Zach the floor eventually, but Musab, what are your thoughts on Todd Bowles' status, his hot seat? what were your thoughts on the Bowles, the Fire Bowls crowd? And is this the loudest it's been for you?
Yeah, I think it's the loudest it's been for me too. It's hard to defend Todd Bowles now at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do anything during the season. It's probably going to be an postseason kind of situation. But we're seeing a defensive collapse. You know what I'm saying? The Saints were looking real damn good on third downs. The middle of the field was left wide open all game. We're now in the bottom of the league, when it comes to, like third and six plus, which I feel like, how are we going to call this guy a defensive guru? You know what I'm saying? And, we're going downhill. You know what I'm saying? So, there were signs of life. I don't want to say the defense just was completely bad. I mean, we did look good at times, but then again, it's the Saints. But yeah. I just feel like this team has kind of lost its confidence, the killer instinct, it just makes me think, you know, what kind of team is this? You know, are we like a Baker first team, a run first team? Are we, relying on Winfield and the boys to, you know, really hold it down? I feel like we don't have an identity. That's the thing.
Yeah, man, absolutely agree with all your points. And I do think that this has gone from like, because, you know, every football team, every sports team in America or in the world really is going to have people calling for the coach's head, like, or the manager or the GM, whatever. Like every fan is going to think like it's the backup quarterback stigma. Like every team is going to have fans that think their backup quarterback is better than their starter. Every team is going to think that their coach deserves to get fired. So this is gone for me, though, from like overreaction fan thing into like, hey, there are some conversations that need to be had. You know, this has gone from like knee-jerk fan reaction, like, oh, the team sucks, into like, hey, like Todd Bowles has been here for a while and they just lost to a team that has lost to 10 other teams. Like, I know they've beaten two other teams, but they've also lost to 10 other teams. So that's kind of more of how I see it. I don't know. I mean, Zach, do you feel that way too? I know you've been on that train for a while now, but it seems like this is kind of, the tone has shifted a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it, and every time I would post something on X or say something in some shows, it would be like, oh, well, he's done really good in this aspect. He's won the NFC South. He's done this. It's one of those things where now I'm happy. It's a weird thing. I'm happy that people are seeing it the way that I'm seeing it. But also it took a loss to a 2-10 Saints team for people to start seeing that. It took a stretch of 1-5.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the last six for people to go, oh, maybe Todd Bowles isn't that good. My issue with Todd Bowles has been he's so consistent. Like, right. Yeah. Not in a good way. Like, starts real hot, has a slump, finishes hot.
Yeah.
We're not finishing hot this season. I don't see it. I hope we do. I'm cool with it if we do. I would love to win the NFC South. Problem is, we win the NFC South, Todd Bowles isn't going anywhere. Tampa has this thing where they will not fire a coach who gets in the NFC South, even though that means jack shit. Sorry for my language. then you got to go into a look at it and like, all right, Todd Bowles is a defensive-minded head coach. We're in an offensive-minded league. Like, it just – that's how it goes. Everything – pays to play offense, you know, like
sure.
You could be a good edge rusher, but you're still not going to get paid as good as a quarterback, right, or as good as the best wide receiver, you know. But also the rules now play towards the offense. And for us to let Liam Cohen walk and like let our offensive minded guys walk, I think that we've already let enough go that I could see us just sticking it out and waiting for someone else to be fired for us to hire them, if that makes sense. I think we waited too long, and that's why I was kind of shouting it so loud last offseason.
Sure.
But maybe I'm wrong, and I pray to God I am. If he comes out and wins out the rest of the season and gets us a Super Bowl, keep him. I don't care. I don't see that happening. I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be shocked if it did at this point. I don't want to root for Tampa to lose, but it's defeating, to say the least.
Yeah, it's tough because like they could still the playoffs are always, not always, but like the playoffs, random stuff can happen sometimes. You know, Nick Foles wins a Super Bowl, you know, the Commanders go on a magical run and make it to the NFC Championship game. So crazy stuff can happen, and the Bucs could very well win a playoff game. You know, they could win the division and then go on and protect their home turf and beat whatever wild card team it is. And then Todd Bowles kind of has maybe a legit case at keeping his job based on performance on the field, like in terms of just win-loss record. And like you said, Zach, like the head coaching, the potential head coaches in this offseason, not nearly as good as last year. Like last year you had Ben Johnson, you had Liam Cohen, you had Aaron Glenn, who hasn't really worked out with the Jets, but still you had a lot of talented coordinators that could theoretically make a big difference. I don't know that I feel that way this offseason. You know, I don't know that I look around the NFL and see a lot of big time coordinators that deserve to get a head coaching gig, which is unfortunate and it sucks. So, you know, it's kind of one of those tough situations. So we'll see. You know, like you said, there's a very real world where the Bucs manage to still win the division and, you know, they say, well, he won the division again. Can we really fire him? And you know, what's.
And in all honesty, I think you could see a situation like the Steelers. Like, Mike Tomlin is never going to be fired from the Steelers.
Right.
They'll agree to part ways, or I could very easily see Tampa going, hey, Todd, listen, will you take on a front office role, kind of like they did with Bruce Arians? I would love to have Bruce Arians back right now.
Of course. I think that was a him decision, though. Like, I think that was –
I don't know. It's a weird situation because he's a good locker room guy. I won't hold that against Todd Bowles. Like, he's got the guys behind him. Right. Now, the problem is you're not making results happen. And
yeah, is that enough?
Could part of that be the front office itself going, hey, we're not going to make trades. We're not going to sign anyone, but here's your last ranked defense. Try and make them not last ranked now.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I know we're not last ranked. I'm being exaggerating a bit, but you get the point. Like, you're coming in with the same group of guys every year and expecting a different outcome. And that's the definition of insanity.
Yeah. It's tough, man. It's tough to separate. Like, it's really hard to separate good coaching from good roster construction. Like, sometimes
they
can kind of intermingle a little bit. Like the Eagles, I think, with their current head coach, is he actually a good coach? Is the Eagles?
And that's the thing. Like, Andy Reid, you know he's a good coach because
he's
coached multiple teams to being great. You look at the Eagles and it's like, well, he's kind of had this powerhouse of a team handed to him and gone, hey, let's make it happen.
Right.
I think a coach that I look at and I'm like, that's a great coach, Dan Campbell.
Yeah, I love Dan Campbell.
The Lions and flip the whole thing upside down.
Yeah, it'd be awesome to get a guy like that.
Exactly.
Those guys are so rare, you know, like it's hard to find.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I think our biggest mistake was letting Cohen walk.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. I was kind of, you know, he's a heck of a coach, but man, he just burned that bridge to a crisp with the Bucks.
The way he left, I agreed. But had we moved Bowles to a front office role last season and brought Cohen in, none of that would ever happen. And we'd have been like, oh shit, he's a great guy.
Right, for sure. So we'll see, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I did want to talk about, before we shift our focus to the Falcons, another big picture conversation, because when you lose to the Saints, you're going to have some big picture conversations. That's just how it's going to go. And Musab, I'll start with you, man. Are there any parts of this team that you'd kind of consider like, hey, maybe don't mess with this part of the team? Because I know it's kind of dramatic to say this, but the offense has been bad this year and the defense has been bad this year. Like, both groups have shown some incredible warts. So are there any parts of this team that you look at and think, oh, well, maybe we don't mess with that group?
I feel like every group has to be messed around with a little bit. I would probably say, if anything, you know, I for what it's worth, I take some positives away with our run game. It wasn't beautiful or anything, but that's probably the best thing that we got as of right now. But other than that, though, I mean, everything needs fixing. I mean, yeah, we really need Mike. And it's just a conglomeration of so many things. It's just bad all around. Nothing's looking good anymore. I kind of feel like in my head, it's like an apocalyptic world, man. Ain't nothing going on, you know, right now. And it's really a domino effect. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the offensive line has been bad, so therefore Baker struggles, and therefore the receivers struggle a little bit too. Egbuka has fallen off a cliff. Baker has not looked great either. Is that because of the offensive line? Is that because the wide receiver room has been decimated, or not decimated, but really been affected by injuries? Who knows? The entire offense has at least tweaks, if not total overhauls. Like, the interior offensive line has been atrocious. Like, Graham Barton has taken a step back. Ben Bredesen's been injured pretty much all year. Cody Mauch has been hurt all year. Like, if you're going to have like injury prone guys across the roster, then like, this is what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not putting the injury prone label on everyone, but when this happens, like, there's going to have to be some tough conversations, whether it's the training staff, whether it's the players' conditioning. I don't know. But yeah, to have as many guys missed as much time as they have, like Crystal Wirfs consistently misses time too. Luke Gadecki's finally figured out his concussion stuff, but he's gotten every other injury too. So it's just like, you know, when you have so many guys missing time like this, and even when they're playing, like, you know, they're still freaking losing to the Saints, then like,
yeah,
what do you do? You know, like, I don't know what they do moving forward. Cause there's a, like you said, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on this roster. And that's just starting with the offense. That's not even mentioned in the
defense. Well, let's talk about also the special teams.
Yeah, god awful, man.
For the love of God. I don't know what we need to hire some detectives. Give me your best football auditors and have them go inside, you know, one Bucks place and all that and investigate what the hell's going on. Because from the jump, 54-yard return, and
I think that weighs heavy on the coaching staff. I don't think that's necessarily a player-based issue.
Well, of course not. It's just, strategy-wise, you know, what's going on with our special teams?
And I'll jump right in because there are very few positions I would not be down to completely overhaul. I think Baker stays. I think we've got to upgrade the receiver room. I mean, as
which dumb is tough because we were complaining about the Ibuka pick, but like
– That's what I'm saying, dude. We were like, oh, we got a plethora. Yeah. And then you have wide receiver one go down, wide receiver two go down. And then, I mean, at the time, it looked like Ibuka was wide receiver three. The last few weeks, I don't know what I'm saying that anymore. So then you got Jalen McMillan go down. There's your top three receivers.
Right.
Yeah. Gone. Mm-hmm. So then you got Ibuka, Tez Johnson, Ryan Miller, Sterling Shepard. Who the hell is going to have a successful season throwing to those guys?
Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal.
And so I feel like injuries are a big issue. And when you have guys as old as Mike Evans and, you know, Chris Godwin might not actually be old per se, but he's been injured enough to be old.
Right.
makes sense. Like he's gotten some years taken off of his NFL career based on injuries.
Yeah.
So we go out and give him this big old contract last year, which I even then thought was stupid to have him extended without knowing how he was going to come back. He had a crucial drop. Ibuka had a crucial drop. I do think that wide receiver needs to be addressed. I don't know that we go out and draft another first-round guy. That's not what I'm saying. But it wouldn't hurt to bring in some insurance to where maybe wide receiver 3, 4, 5 are not – practice squad guys. Not that Tez Johnson, I think, is a practice squad guy, or that even he had a screw up in the Saints game, stopping on the route for the interception. There's just so many things that I'm like, the wide receiver room that we thought was so bright and our bright spot on this team, it's not looking so bright right now.
Yeah.
Offensive line, again, injury prone. Yeah, that's my issue with the offensive line, really. I want to give a huge shout out to, I don't know how to pronounce his name, so we're just going to go Ben.
Yes, there you go.
And see, played great football last week.
Yeah, like, he looks solid. Phenomenal.
Love that for him.
Yeah.
I would not mind an overhaul on everyone but Tristan Wirfs and him. Like, and he's not even a starter. Gadecki's not been bad either, but the interior offensive line has been garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. It's been tough.
Running back, I'm happy at running back. I'll be honest with you. I'd get rid of Rashad White still. I think it needs to be Bucky and Sean Tucker from here on out.
Bucky's been hurt all year, though, and the way he reacted to the injury was weird. And like,
because he's never been hurt. I know we're going to hear that he's injury-prone, and he's missed.
Small, yeah.
Yeah, but Darren Sproles was small and played 19 years in the NFL.
For sure. I guess I just don't see Bucky Irving as the same in the same light as Darren Sproles. And I'm going to be honest.
I'm not putting him in that level yet. Sure. Like, I'm not saying that there's a comparison in skill level, but Bucky Irving throughout all of college and the NFL has missed this year. That's it.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. It's just,
he's never really been hurt. So he got hurt. Tampa was safe. It messed him up in his head. And, you know, I get it to an extent. Like, if that's all you know is playing ball, and it's taken away from you, even if it's only for 6 weeks, that it can mess with your head. I get it to an extent. A little extreme on his end, yes. And then defense, get rid of everybody. Fire them all. Tyke Smith, I want him to stay.
Yeah.
That's it. Everyone else can go. Get gone. And he can stay too.
Yeah. I like Yaya Diaby too.
I'll give you that. Three can stay. The rest gone.
Yeah, there's some serious issues, some serious problems on both sides of the ball. But if you're looking to overhaul your wardrobe, head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've really got some phenomenal stuff out there. We don't have – that's right. Mr. Musab Tariq is rocking the Team USA RBLR sports gear, and we've got plenty more where that comes from. So if you want to be more like Musab Tariq, which I think we all do, then definitely head there. We'll give you a promo code. That's Canon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type it in, get 10% off your entire order. We'd certainly appreciate it. So we'll transition because we've been pretty dark. We've been harping on the Bucks for the past like 10 minutes. And don't get me wrong, they deserve it because they just lost to the freaking Saints. But there's more football left to be played, and they still have a path, you know, to win the division. I know we've been talking about how that doesn't really matter, but you know, it'd still be fun to watch them play in the playoffs. Like I don't know
that it would be, brother. I don't know how much fun that would be for us. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's more football. It's more football to watch. You know, we'll see. But focusing on the Falcons because, you know, they're playing them Thursday night, short week. It's creamsicle week. Whatever you want to take from that. So the jerseys will be kind of fun at least. Do you have any thoughts, Musab? I'll start with you, man. Any thoughts on how the short week kind of affects things, or do you think this gives either team an advantage at all? Like, is there really any insight that you can glean from a short week like this?
Unfortunately, not. This one right. I really just hate to see it, but this one's just to kind of just seeing, you know, just make the best out of, you know, what is to come. I'm just, you know, trying to see, you know, what did we learn from that Saints game, and, you know, have we made some changes? I'm not expecting a complete 180 and, oh my God, we just had the greatest game of our life against the Falcons. Of course not. But, you know, I just hope that we make some changes just to our gameplay. And I just hope we see some better things, you know, from the offensive line. But again, it just changes things up. You know, I just feel like I don't want to put this on Baker, guys, but Baker's shook. You know, he's got a weak offensive line. He's already banged up himself, you know what I'm saying? So when your bodyguards ain't, you know, your starting bodyguards, you're going to be a little, you know, a little fearful about your safety, if you get what I'm saying. So
yeah,
that's really kind of just how I feel. So unfortunately, it's good to know that Tristan Wirfs, I think, should be back for this game. That's going to help a lot. But then again, doesn't help that Ben Bredesen is out. So
yeah, and he's on IR too.
So. Yeah, but the biggest thing is I just want our defense to, for the love of God, make some noise. I mean, pass rush has just been absolutely non-existent. I know, you know, we just picked up JPP, but it just makes me think, you know, have we become desperate? You know, what is going on? Because this is where I'm kind of thinking, you know, as much as I love Jason Light, I feel like this is something, you know, he could have thought about beforehand.
Yeah.
It should have not come down to this.
Yes. Break glass in case of emergency. Jason Pierre-Paul is not what you want to see.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, man. I don't know what to make of it. It's kind of weird.
We've got all our 3, 4, and 5 picks for next year. You know, we're good.
Hey, man, you know, with how many things they need to fix, you know, they're going to need.
Yeah, those draft picks aren't helping them fix the problems they have. A fourth round pick is not going to come in here and change the dynamic of this football team.
I don't know. Bucky Irving was a fourth round pick. You never know.
Yeah, we haven't had him all year. So he
hasn't changed. That's true. Maybe they need to get rid of Bucky Irving too.
You know, possibly. I, at this point, get rid of everyone. I'm going to go root for the
Las Vegas Raiders,
Oilers, Edmonton Eskimos, whatever's in the CFL. I don't know.
Heck yeah, that's what's up. No, you could be an XFL, or is it still the XFL? Or is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. Yeah. Whatever. But yeah. I don't know, the JPP thing. Yeah, kind of depressing to talk about because, man, he's old. but you know, we'll see if maybe he brings a little bit of life to this defense just from a leadership perspective. Because it's been bad. Like Todd Bowles has been harping tackling the whole. You know, the whole season, like every press conference, that's like his biggest thing. And they let Tyler Shough escape the pocket for a touchdown on Sunday to win the game. So clearly it's kind of went in one ear, out the other. But what are you going to do? I wanted to talk about the Falcons, though, because that's, you know, who they're playing. They're without Michael Penix. He went down with an ACL injury, which is tough to see. And so it's Kirk Cousins' time. You know, it's Kirk O'Bangs. They've had a bottom third passing offense, though, just across the season with Kirk and Penix. So it has not been pretty. And they're also not great running the ball, despite the fact that they have Bijan Robinson. Teams are kind of able to load up the box against them because their passing game has just not been very good. And their interior offensive line, Chris Lindstrom is great, but man, it gets kind of thin after that. So they've got kind of a similar struggle as the Bucs in terms of their offense. But Zach, what are your overall thoughts on the Falcons? Do they have any tendencies that you can pick up on or anything you'll be looking out for Thursday night?
I expect them to throw the ball, and I expect Kirko to throw for 500 yards and 7 touchdowns. I've stopped looking at tendencies when it comes to teams that are playing the Bucs because it doesn't – and I know that sounds stupid and, like, overreaction, but literally teams come in and do whatever they want on us, and it's been that way all season. They want to run the ball. You know what? Let them run the ball. They want to have pocket passer score 2 rushing touchdowns on us, they can do it. You know, it's like, it's just irritating at this point because, you know, last season we could at least expect, like, okay, we're going to have a fighting chance because we're going to put up 40 points. This year, like, if they score more than 2.5 touchdowns, I'm like, yeah, we might be in some trouble. So I've stopped focusing on tendencies and just kind of prepared myself for how each quarterback is going to win player of the week against us.
Well, at least Tyler Shough didn't necessarily do that. He had a decent game, but he at least didn't manage to win, you know, offensive player of the week or anything.
He could have.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Falcons are also pretty bad against the run.
So brother.
Right. Well, hopefully at least the Bucs will be able to produce a little bit offensively. The Falcons have not been good against the run and not really great against the pass either. So maybe this is a get-back game for the Bucs offensively because they look good against the Bills. Like, I know the defense allowed 40-plus points, so who cares? But the Bucs offense managed to produce against them. And so, you know, maybe they'll be able to do so Thursday night. Hopefully the weather will cooperate a little bit more as well, be a little bit more conducive to that. So maybe it's a shootout, you know, but maybe since it's a shortened week, they're not able to call as many plays. They've got a lot of guys coming back from injury, so who knows? We'll see how that goes as well. But we want to talk about some key players for the Falcons as well, because they're kind of the big three that I think of. Drake London, at least, for sure. He's third in yards per routes run. He's kind of become a top-flight wide receiver in the NFL, very under the radar because the Falcons aren't very good. But he's been very productive. Another great season from him. Kyle Pitts, I know we've, you know, it's kind of the running joke. Is Kyle Pitts going to break out? But he's third in target share. Like, he gets a lot of passes thrown his way and fourth in receiving yards amongst tight ends. So that's a pretty darn good season. I know it's not nearly fourth overall pick level, but Kyle Pitts, he's been pretty good this year. And then AJ Terrell, he's fifth in forced incompletion rate, and he leads the NFL in snaps per target and third in snaps per reception, which means they are just not throwing the ball his way a whole lot. And when they are, he's doing a pretty good job of locking it down. And no surprise, he's been a pretty good corner in the NFL for a long time now. Musab, is there anyone I missed? I know I didn't mention Bijan. Did you want to shout him out at all?
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to Bijan as well. I mean, as much as, you know, our run D looks good at times, I'm just worried about, you know, he's going to have a kind of similar game as he did last time with those kind of, you know, short passes, handoffs.
Sure.
That's going to get to the best of us. But I mean, yeah, you covered it. I think the big one that I'm worried about, unfortunately, is Kyle Pitts. Especially if our pass rush is just not there, and if we do exactly what we did against the Saints, which I wouldn't be surprised, because there's just something about tight ends in our Bucs defense that just, or opponent tight ends in our Bucs defense.
Yeah, it's the fact that our middle linebackers suck.
Yeah, so that's one thing I wouldn't be surprised. Thank God, I don't think Kirk Cousins can run like Tyler Shough. I don't think he can run at all.
You know, but I wouldn't be shocked if he did, though.
And then again, you never know.
You never know. It's so. A Bucs life, baby. Yeah. No, I mean, that's a great point about, you know, the tight ends and the running backs in the passing game, too. You know, like Zach said, the linebackers have been abysmal this year again. You know, it's Lavonte David continues to kind of regress. And Servacio Dennis has been a huge disappointment this season. Just really in all aspects.
I really put my foot in my mouth talking about so highly of him this offseason.
Man, it happened. I was hopeful too. I think we all were hopeful that he'd be a decent linebacker, or at least an upgrade over KJ Britt last year. And so far that has not really been the case.
I wish we had KJ Britt back.
Exactly, man. It's a depressing state of affairs for sure. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see if the Falcons are able to take advantage, or maybe the Bucs come out really, really angry and frustrated.
I will say, too, we don't have to worry about Drake London this week, so that's a plus.
Oh, he's injured. Oh,
yeah, he is already ruled out for this. Wow. So there's four starters questionable, and London's out this week. So
okay,
so he's on the right side. We only have to worry about Kyle Pitts and Drake London, or Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson on their offense. So yeah, we should be okay there.
Don't sleep on Darnell Mooney, though. I feel like
I guarantee you has a good game.
Don't sleep on anyone, man.
Yeah, he'll have 160 yards, three touchdowns. Like,
right, exactly.
But it's not Drake London, so we can look at the bright side.
That's true. That's true. But we're nearing the end of our episode. We got a couple more segments to get to before we sign off. We got over under. Mr. Tariq, do you have some over unders for us this week?
Yeah, you know, the first one I kind of want to just, you know, start off with this, which is over under rushing yards allowed. I'm going to go over, but I guess it might be a specific. This might be a little too specific because I feel like all eyes are on Bijan. But I'm going to go over under 100 rushing yards for the Falcons. I think I'm going to go over on this.
Yeah. Bijan and Algier are both pretty good running backs. Like, frankly, Algier's, I think, one of the most underrated backs in the league. Like, I think he's a starter on a lot of teams.
David Montgomery.
Yeah, for sure. Algier's outstanding as well. So, yeah, I'm going to hit the over on that. Zach, how about you, man? You got
way over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if they both have 100 yards.
Yeah. All right. We're taking the over.
Oh, man. Both.
I don't know. If, I don't know if I'll go that far, but I will say over.
Yeah.
I will. Okay. Watch it happen.
So I know because they had about 110 last game against the Seahawks. So
yeah.
And the Seahawks have much better defense than us.
Yeah. But you never know. Maybe.
Never know.
You know,
JPP is going to stop it. We're good.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. We got JPP. So
heck yeah.
Who knows, man? Who knows? But now my next one is over under 2.5 touchdowns thrown by Baker Mayfield. Start under. Off with you.
Yeah.
Going I got under. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he what gets about you, Zach?
I don't know. Mike Evans and Jay Mack are back. I'm going to go over just to be optimistic.
Okay. There you go.
But that's just to be optimistic. I don't think my score prediction is going to reflect the over 2.5 touchdowns.
Yeah,
I'm going to go over on this. I just have some sort of weird optimism. there's just something that tells me, you know, we'll be able to get three. I mean, but again, my score prediction also has some expresses some other feelings towards other matters like our defense. But anyways, I'm gonna go over on this.
A little preview for our prediction segment. We might all be unanimous in our pessimism, but I don't know. The good news is the Falcons defense is quite bad. Like, I know that we've been, you know, crapping on the Bucks defense all night, and rightfully so, but Falcons defense also quite bad. So, you know, kind of a bad matchup for both squads in that regard. And then we'll get to the predictions to round out our episode. Been kind of a sad one, and I think we're going to end on a tough note too. I've got the Bucks losing this one. I've got the Falcons taking a 31-27 win. The Bucks are just in a rough spot. You can't really count on any of them, and that might be overselling how much their offense will be able to produce. I know Evans and McMillan are coming back. God damn it. but, like, it's Mike Evans who's, like, really old and coming back from a serious injury, and it's Jalen McMillan who was pretty good last year, but – also coming off of a major injury. So I'm not even sure how much they're going to contribute. Godwin, who knows? Igbuka is going to drop everything that comes his way. Like, you know, what happens here? You know, is Bucky going to run for 150 yards? I don't know. Probably not. Not with the offensive line. And also,
even if he does, it's not going to help us.
Exactly. So I got 31-27, and that's not even with me being super confident they can even score that many points. But they'll probably allow that many points because the defense has looked cooked. So, 31-27. Musab, who you got winning and by how much?
I'm going 31-24 Falcons. Okay. I do think that we show signs of life, but it's just going to be the same kind of thing where we had against the Saints. It's just lack of execution towards the end more than anything. Yeah. Just seeing the same kind of things. We're on a short week, so I really hate to say this, but perhaps, you know, this may just be the year we ought to just, you know, call ourselves Ocean Gate and just implode.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they might lose the division this year. That's kind of my bold prediction.
It's tough, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That Saints game was brutal.
I said it last week in the chat, and you guys told me I was crazy. The Falcons aren't a real threat.
Well, it's not the Falcons. It's
the Panthers. Sorry.
No. It's not that the Panthers weren't a real threat. I didn't think they had it in them to lose to the damn Saints. You know, I didn't think they had that in them. But since they do, that really changes things, frankly. So, yeah, no, you're not crazy at all to think that. The Panthers are weird as hell, too. So, you know, who knows? But what's your prediction, Zach? Who you got winning?
I got Tampa losing 34-24.
Okay, 34-24. We all think they give up 30-plus points. So, of course, now that we're all saying this, they're going to go out and win like 20-3 or something.
Yeah, right. They're going to put up the best game of the year. It's going to be like they're going to get a safety somehow.
Yeah, the defense will show out. Jamel Dean will have one of his vintage NFC Player of the Week performances. Yep. But anyways, regardless of the outcome, regardless of whether we're right or wrong, or whether we will have another kind of doom and gloom show next week, or whether I will come back and be a little bit more optimistic next week. I don't know if that'll be possible, but regardless, we'll be back. We'll have another show for you. Me and my wonderful co-host who made my job incredibly easy tonight. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Give us a like or subscribe if you like what you heard. If you want to wallow in misery with the rest of us, you know, we'll be here. But give us a follow as well at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucks. We've got great content coming across all of our channels. And like Musab said, the USF show, we had a great time. Like, it was way higher vibes than this, but we got to keep it real, you know, and we'll be keeping it real next week.
I guess this is our Cure Bowl, Carter.
That's right. This is our Cure Bowl. That's right.
Hey, at least anyways, really game, all right?
No, for sure. We're excited. But anyways, we really appreciate y'all for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.